Hey, welcome to Texas!
He's a 10.
I choose this family.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 107 of 9-1 Lone Star Roundup. I'm one of your hosts, Katie, and with me are my lovely co-hosts, Grace and EJ.
Hello.
Hi guys.
Today, we will be talking about the 9-1 Season 7 premiere titled Abandoned Ships. There is so much to talk about, so we're just going to get right to it. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm very excited.
Yes,
I'm really so good excited.
I'm going to be fangirling the entire time, which I know is why we are here. I'm going to be extra fangirling because I am so happy.
Yes, so we started off with Athena talking with Frank, which we love. So happy he's back.
We love this. Yeah. I can't remember. Have we seen Athena with Frank before?
I don't think so, and I even wrote this in
I think
notes.
We've seen basically everyone else with him.
Yeah, right? I even wrote this in notes that, like, I'm pretty sure we haven't seen Athena actually talk to Frank. Not saying that it hasn't happened, because I'm sure it has happened at a time just with the job and everything, but it's kind of interesting to see her actually talk to him. So when she's talking to him, this is apparently like 2 months ago and stuff. Like, this is kind of when that happens, and like, so Athena's like mentioning like how she usually isn't like the one to bring her troubles to strangers, which I kind of get that, and like, it's like, what's going on? And Athena's like mentioning how like Bobby booked them a cruise as like a belated honeymoon, and Bobby is like so excited for the cruise, and she just doesn't want to spoil that. And like, Frank's like, well, why would you? And Athena mentions how like basically like even stepping foot on the boat like fills her with dread, like she's terrified. And like, yeah, I can understand that. And then like, Frank's asking her like where this anxiety might come from, and Athena says she knows exactly. So we get a flashback of young Athena watching Sidon Adventures, which is a TV movie from 1972.
Sidon Adventure. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I'm not gonna lie, when I was seeing this, I was like, I had to look it up when I was rewatching it. I'm like, is this actually a movie? And it was. I find it a little funny how they promoted it as an ABC TV movie when it was a Fox movie. I looked it up and it was like,
oh my 21st
God. Century Fox.
Oh yeah,
funny. I was watching this and I was like expecting they should like show Titanic or something, and then they were like, "Is that an adventure?" I'm like, "Is that a real movie?"
I'm glad I'm not the only one, because I was like, "Wait," I was a little confused because the first time around I wasn't sure. I was like, "Wait, are we watching Titanic?" And I was like, "I've never seen it, but I'm pretty sure this
I've
isn't
never seen
it."
Titanic either.
Or yeah. Like, are they trying to fake a Titanic because they can't like actually give that to us? But it was very interesting, and you know,
I do love that they did something different than Titanic. Yeah. Even though I think they did name drop Titanic in this scene, but I love that they did something different.
Exactly.
And it's like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So Athena starts talking about like, it's not just a TV movie, it's a major motion picture, and it's like, okay, go off, queen. And how like Shelley Winters was up for the Oscar that year, and Frank asks like, oh, did she win? And Athena's just like, no, she did not, which was a reference to Angela Bassett losing the Emmys for 2023. And I'm like, wow, digs. I love the digs.
That was a dig. I love it for her.
I know. I loved it. I love everyone was talking about that after this episode here. And I was like, ooh, I like that. It was just like, I love when TV shows do that. They're just like, they like add that into like the story, but like only some people get that reference, and I love it. And Athena is all worried about like this, like, you know, this whatever anxiety this is. Obviously there's more to it. And Frank's just like, pack Dramamine and try not to think of the Titanic. And Athena's like, Poseidon. Like, yes, go off. He's like, I'm sure you'll be fine. Which you never want to be like, you'll be fine, because like, if you say you're gonna be fine, are you really gonna be fine?
Frank, you jinxed it.
Right.
Jinx.
if we've learned from anything from this show, it's definitely that you're gonna get jinxed. I'm like, yeah. And we knew, I mean, obviously we know when she starts talking about the cruise ship and we've seen all the promos, we know what's coming.
Of course, we see like a little glimpse into the future of the ship basically submerging, sinking in like water, and Bobby and Athena are like holding hands, and like Bobby's like, I love you, and Athena's like very faint, I love you, I love you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and of course they put that right there. I mean, they were basically being like, haha, yeah, about that.
Right. And I mean, we already saw that because I was like online everywhere, but like even yeah. So I'm like, what,
still so powerful.
It is, it is. Mm-hmm. I love it. And then we get like back at the 118, we get like this call, a fighter jet is like about to crash, and don't you know, of course it crashes into this bickering couple's house, who apparently should have gotten a divorce because they bicker and they've been married for 35 years and they seem miserable. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. I love how like this guy is trying to watch TV. His wife is like basically vacuuming on him,
right?
Yeah,
and all around
literally
him.
Sticks into the chair,
and I'm like, oh, I wonder why. And she's like, I like talking about how much she hates this chair, and then of course the jet crashes and basically into it, where to point this guy is like pinned, he's stuck there, and then of course like this jet is like a dummy bomb, and I'm like, well, that's great, that's right. Lovely.
It's important to note that the pilot ejected before this.
Yes.
So he wasn't even on scene or anything.
Right. It was he calls because his parachute's hanging off of some big tower.
And he calls 911 because his comms got cut off. So it was.
Yeah.
Talk about awkward.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. And like they don't have time to wait, so whatever, for like it to get disarmed, so of course Eddie has to do it, and it's like, wow, this has not been done before, like of course, right? Not, we have never seen this.
Yeah, bro, we are getting so many callbacks to season 2 episode 1, and I'm living for it.
Right, what did I say when, for once I was the last one to watch the episode, so I was texting as I did that, and I said, Buck and Eddie defusing a bomb, have you seen this before? I swear this happened before.
It's like I'm getting deja vu, but like, right? I don't know where this is from.
But in classic 911 fashion, they upgraded it from a grenade to a missile.
Of course. Thankfully it wasn't like there was no like bad stuff on it. It was just gonna explode.
Yeah. And it was a dummy, so you know it's gonna wipe out maybe 2 houses, not the whole freaking neighborhood, according to the pilot.
Right.
that guy, like I get like stuff was happening, so he wasn't making sense because he was telling him to like, you know, clip up the red wire. But no, before you do that, you need to do this. And then they like question, because then he tells them to clip the green wire, and they're like, you said red before, and he's like, oh well, and it's like, I'm like, guys, it's always red.
Mm-hmm. It's like, red for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's not that hard, and you would have thought they could have figured that out, but no, apparently not. But
however, my contradictory ass would have designed a missile where like the blue wire was, or the yellow wire was the diffuser, because I like being you know, special. So like, I don't know, I think it's a valid question.
True. And then of course, like, so the guy, like at some point his chair just leans back and they're like, oh, never mind, we don't have to do anything, let's just pull him out, let's just take the chair with us, we got it to the point where we can just slide it on out.
Right. Because Chimney found the lever to like lower it.
Oh yes,
yes. Did no one think to look for that before?
I swear,
probably not.
I swear. Yeah. And then of course, like, this kind of, our dear sweet Chimney seems to spiral a lot, and this puts Chim in a start of a spiral, because of course now he is worried that him and Maddie are going to become this couple overthinking everything, and I'm like, relatable. Right. And then I'm also like, okay, here we go. Here's the next thing to fixate on.
Oh yeah. This is peak.
This is typical Chim.
Yeah, I get it. Because
we've seen this happen.
Mm-hmm.
I get it because my brain works like that, but I'm also like, Tim, come
Yeah.
on.
Yeah. I will say it's just that in this episode they've done a very good job of like showcasing people's personalities, like the characters' personalities. And I think they've showcased Jim's here because we have seen this before, and this is very on par for him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I still love Hen and Chim's relationship. I think it's a great one, and I'm glad we always keep getting more of it.
Yes, I'm so happy about that.
Yes.
Then we get Buddy. They're like talking about their weekend plans. This scene, I'm like,
Throwback again. We
The Willow
have
Man
Eddie
scene.
shirtless. I needed them to have like a very faint, maybe like remix of What a Man playing in the background.
Oh my
Like,
God, that would have been
just
so good.
nice.
Oh,
That's
those
like, that's the
abs.
one thing I would have
Those abs.
changed. Those abs.
Right?
And also, like, I've seen people put the photos of him in season two and
Yes.
him in season seven side by side. And like, so little has changed and so much has changed at the same time. And I was like,
Right?
That just makes me want to make like a video of like showing the scene from season two and then going to the scene. Yep, that needs to happen. But
Yeah.
yeah, so they're talking about their weekend plans. Apparently, Buck wants to go go-karting, and it's like, okay, cool. And Eddie is talking about like dating, and Buck's like, I thought you and Marisol were like already have been doing that. And Eddie's like, no, it's not for me. It's Chris's like first date. And I have thoughts on all this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
First of all,
like,
Macy's
not
handling
yet.
it this like well.
Yeah. This made me be like, and like the beginning of the episode, obviously we get clarification more later. I'm like, wait, how old is he?
It's
Yeah.
hard to believe he's that age. Just...
I know, but it's also like, I don't know, some of that I was like, what? Listen.
Yeah.
yeah. But then like Eddie mentions like, oh, maybe Natalia will go guarding with you, and Buck's like, no, we broke up. Like he didn't know like why he thought dating a death doula would be like a good idea, because like all she wanted to talk about is death, and like Buck has all this life obviously, and it's just like, yeah, that's I could not, I
They
could.
literally said what the fans have been saying since the end of season six. Like, that was, I'm like, this is literally what we've been saying.
Like that's I couldn't do that. That's like depressing to think about that and stuff. Like, yeah, that's like not, and I'm like, finally, like I had a, and we'd all be call, a lot of people have been calling it like that they would be done by like the premiere. And I'm like, thank God. Now we just have to get rid of the other one because like it's not even for Buddy. I literally can't, nobody can stand the actress who plays Marisol because she said some nasty things. And it's just like, let's get rid of her now because I don't, we, nobody wants her here.
Like, if they were gonna keep one of them,
I don't want either of
I would
them.
have
That's
preferred.
my thing.
Oh, I don't want either of them either, but if they were gonna keep one of them longer than the freaking premiere, then
Yeah.
I don't
Well,
know.
I don't know. We'll see.
Just glad Buck figured out something.
For one thing, I'm glad, like, so far they, like, in the premiere, they didn't really, like, make, like, they showed Marisol, but they didn't
It was so
make her.
minuscule.
It was so minuscule. I'm hoping that just like fizzles out quickly, that we don't have to
Might
have
as
any big
well.
scenes or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I
Yeah.
liked it that it was more of a just a flashback to something that happened, and it wasn't like a full on like full scene where she's in it.
Yes.
I don't think
Yeah.
she, but I think she barely talked. I think she had one line. So,
Pretty much.
I
But we
loved
got
all the,
Buddy.
yes, we did. I
We
was gonna
got
say, we
Buddy.
got so much of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can we just reflect a moment also on Eddie's face when he says that he and Natalia broke up? He's
It's
like,
like,
"Oh, you say
oh, really?
what?" And like,
Eddie.
"I, honey, your homosexuality is showing, honey.
I
Okay."
know. Yeah, and then him putting his hand on Buck's shoulder and the whole like,
Oh my gosh.
welcome
That
to
scene was
the
such
world
Bodhi
living.
cut or Bodhi. That scene was such buddy code, and I tried to combine those words.
Yeah. Oh my
Yeah.
God, that was so good. We love
Yeah. The hand. I'll admit, I have been like fully convinced that that was like that the picture of like Eddie with his hand on someone's shoulder had actually been Buck before, but it worked out in the fact that it was. Buck, and I'm just I love that he's like, welcome to the world of living. You are missed. And he walks off. And
You are
Buck has this
missed.
dopey ass smile on his face, and I'm like, just go
Oh my,
kiss him already.
I know,
I
right?
know, we're all like, kiss. Oh.
And he sent a breakup text to Marisol really quick before you do that, but then like kiss, kiss, kiss.
Right. Yeah, I feel like this, and Ryan and Oliver have not been helping the situation with the buddy in a good
Particularly
way. Like,
Ryan. Yes, particularly Ryan, because there was interviews that are like, oh, we're trying to make it happen, like more than you know. And it's like, Ryan, what are you saying?
I'm like, bro, you need to choose your words carefully.
Because otherwise you have an angry army behind you.
Right. So, I mean,
He said the line of like, I love you to the core in an interview, and the buddy fandom has gone wild.
yeah, and I am really happy that they're embracing that there are a lot of fans that want Buddy together. And I'll be honest, if we don't get a romantic relationship between the two of them, I am going to be okay with the friendship they have and the family they've built, because it's obvious, regardless of their romantic relationships, they are still considering each other family. Buck is the second parent to Chris.
Which is
He's
so
been
affirmed
there
later in the
when
episode.
so many other people haven't been in Eddie's life. So, as much as I want Buddy, I'm okay with Buddy just being a platonic friendship.
Mainly I agree, and I feel like their dynamic has been so like fizzled out, especially like in the last season, that like us having them back to like to this level, whether or not it's in a romantic subtext or just friendship, I am living for it. So yeah,
Because
I know we talked about it in our first episode back here, and now we're talking about it now, and it's like, yeah.
I like the book that Eddie was acknowledging that, this maybe wasn't the greatest of ideas, and I would not be surprised, knowing how like Hen and Chim are, that they probably would have always also said something along the lines of like, well, you had just died, so it made sense that you were, connected to her, but it's not going to be good long term. So
And that shows important, like, yeah, they would have said that. And I think that does go back to like showing that like the 118 really loves each other as a family, and they're always there for each other, supporting even when someone's doing something a little unwise. So
But then we have Chim cooking at home when Maddie comes home, and he introduces this idea of them basically never stopping dating. They're gonna date every single day, maybe
Oh,
take a
Chim,
few days
Chim,
off,
Chim, Chim.
and basically it's like forever dating, because he says he doesn't want the future of the 35-year relationship couple. They've been married 35 years, that like hate each other's guts basically, and he doesn't want them to be that. And it's sweet, but I'm like, the whole forever dating thing, I'm like, Tim, this is a bit much. That sounds exhausting.
See, I agree with the idea in principle,
I
but
do too.
frequency isn't a thing. Like, I think, because I think a lot of marriages experience a lot of relationships. We're also going to talk about like long-term relationships that aren't necessarily marriage. I think a lot of them suffer from like stopping dating, from like starting to think that's not really a priority anymore. Life gets in the way, kind of start taking each other for granted. When you've been with each other long enough, you don't think you have to put in the effort as much anymore. I definitely think that is a big problem. And I have seen this concept of forever dating before. And I think it's absolutely valid, but we're not talking about like a five times a week kind of thing. If like the date, the once a week date night, the little stuff every day that you can do for your
Yes,
partner,
that I
not,
understand.
yeah, that's not dates, but it's like an unquestionable show of love and commitment. If you do something every day and then have a set aside day, like once a week to do that, like a date, then I think that's really the concept of forever dating. So I think Chim was on the right fluid a little bit. And I will say, as the child of divorced parents, I can understand being worried about something like this, because you see what happens in failed relationships. Like, he saw this couple that was still together, but obviously hated each other. And we see that so much. So it's like, yeah, I don't disagree with the concept at all, but he was reacting from a place of fear. And I don't necessarily know that that's the best place to start anything from.
Probably not. I like the concept. Like, if you want to do that, like, once a week. But they had, like, extravagant things played for, like, every day. And I'm like, that is exhausting.
They had a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You're right. He was on the right track, but he's doing it out of fear, and that's not a healthy spot to be in, for sure.
Gotta be motivated by the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure. And then Athena and Bobby on the cruise dancing. That was so sweet. But
my gosh.
Yes. But then of course, whatever, they're like table mates, and you know, it's Norman and Lola.
I was like, oh my god. Because it was funny, I was watching the episode and I went, I saw Romy Rosemont as one of the guest stars. And I went, hasn't she been on here before? And but I couldn't remember her character until I saw Norm. And I went, oh my god, you gotta be kidding me.
Because they haven't shown up since season two either, if I recall correctly. Like, that was a season two arc.
Yeah.
So many callbacks to season two.
Although, I don't think Norman was, but there was a scene, I don't remember which season it was in. It was where, like, Maddie was going to quit and, like, Josh convinced
I know exactly
her.
What it was. It was at the very end of season two.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
And so, Norman and Lola were both there. Yeah, I think it was 2:17 or 2:18. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. So that's been the last time they're in there. But it was wild. I'm like, wow, okay. Like, interesting. They apparently have been living on cruise ships for years. And I'm like, yeah, no, thanks.
I mean, it sounds like amazing adventure. And they did say that, like, a lot of retirees do this. I'm like, that sounds great. Not for me. Thank you. When I retire, I'm moving to a sheep farm in Scotland. But live your best life.
Yeah. You do, but not for me.
Yeah, I've heard of people doing that. And so I get it. I just... Yeah, sometimes, you know, all expenses are paid, you know, especially depending on your income, but I don't know.
I'll say at that point, just buy a cruise line, you know, just ride around on your own ship.
Buy a yacht.
Oh, yeah.
Then they're trying to just involve Bobby and Athena and, like, all their plans, and I'm just like... Like, it's
and like sweet. Athena's not having it. Like, she's she's very much... And, like, I kind of get it. Like, I don't know that I'd want to be best buds with someone I had to arrest, even if it was, like, 5 years ago.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Their intentions were in the right place, but it's just, like...
Plus, Athena's already stressed, so I think this is helping.
Yeah, Athena is already, like, not having, like, the best... Like, she's trying to overcome whatever is going on, but it's just like, this is okay. So then Bobby and Athena go back to their room, and Athena's like, that was, like, exhausting. But Bobby's like, oh, it was sweet how, like, they reconnected and stuff. And Athena says how, like, she doesn't like them. She's like, that woman is a felon. I mean, yeah, stating facts. And she's like, 60 days and a fine. Why do I even bother?
I've wondered before, honestly, if this is like an actual thing that cops, like, see, have, like, they arrest somebody and then the person gets, like, again, 60 days and fine, and they're like, what was the point,
all that work?
I'm sure it happens a lot, and I think that's when police officers get frustrated, because, you know, they do all this work to arrest somebody, and then the legal system just kind of can fail people. And not like that whole steamy Norman. She was definitely decently exposed in public. I don't think she had. Did she have a gun?
She did have a gun. I'm pretty sure
she did.
I think that. So.
Didn't she?
It's been a while.
I'd have to rewatch it. I think she might have taken somebody. I don't know. I mean that I if. I'm pretty sure that did happen, so, like, I understand why it's, like, really 60 days. But in my head before thinking about that piece, I was like, Well, at least she didn't like kill anybody and she only got like
Right.
60 days.
Yeah. So I just looked it up. She did
Or
have
hurt somebody.
Okay.
that. Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. And like, so, not saying she deserved like 20 years in prison or whatever, but
Right.
Right, yeah.
was definitely a situation.
Yeah. And so then Bobby and Athena are talking and like Athena's like, well, we have to see them for the we have to sit with them for the next 2 weeks. And Bobby's like, well, we could just hole up in a room and then it's like, what's the fun in that? We could just stay here. We could just hide out. Yeah, no
Right.
thanks.
Which
Yeah.
personally, like, and my partner suggested that, and I didn't want to say with families, I'd be like, say less.
Right.
True.
But then we start getting into the nitty-gritty of Athena's feelings at this part.
Yes. Because Athena then flashes back to like Frank asking her what the real reason of her being afraid of getting on the boat was, and like saying that, like, I know it's not because of some movie. And Athena says, like, oh, I love my husband, and like their relationship is a whirlwind, but taking away the chaos, she doesn't know like what the relationship is, which makes sense because for like obviously their whole relationship, the kids with lived with her May and Harry, May's in college, Harry's living with David and Michael, so like they have like essentially like no major responsibilities, it's just them, and like a lot of people have that where they don't know like what their life is without their kids, or like it's like, now what?
Or without their jobs too, because their
Yeah,
lives
yeah.
center so much around their teams and their jobs and just because, like, even when they, it's not like they haven't had time to themselves at some point, but there's always something surrounding it.
Right.
And
Yeah.
also, there's a difference between being alone in your home, but still like in the traditions of your daily life, and being like around the people that know you and can seek you out and everything, and being alone on a cruise ship for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So like I get what he's saying.
Oh yeah,
I do.
for sure.
Well, and I've seen it happen. A lot of people, especially those who have intense jobs, get with somebody, and it's like there's always that fear. Well, what if we run out of things to be, talk about? But I think we've seen Bobby and Athena support each other over these years, that I think it's just their nature to care about each other regardless of the situation. And I don't know. I think she's definitely fear, like there's some anxiety there. I'm not surprised with. And this is really the first time she's faced time off outside of getting hurt, because the last time she had some time off, it was because she was injured.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So at
Yeah,
least
like
when she was
yeah.
injured, she was like going over the case files and stuff. But
Yeah.
it's different now that she doesn't
Yeah.
have a case to cover.
Right,
So she
yeah.
thinks.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's afraid of like what it is when it's just them, which yeah. And then of course interrupted Lo Norman and Lola interrupt. And they like invite them for a nightcap, and Athena is just like, "I'd love to," and it's like, "Where the hell did that come from?" And even Bobby like calls her out and is like, "What the heck was that? Like, I thought you said you don't like him." And Athena's like, "I didn't say that," and Bobby's like, "You did," and
Yes, you
Athena's like,
did.
"Fine, I don't like or trust them. No need to be rude about it." And I'm just like, Athena. So like Athena just walks out, and this is like when Bobby's like, okay, well, this is odd. Like, what the heck is going on?
For sure, yeah. He definitely, I think, has he's definitely been feeling like slight vibe that something's a little weird, but now he's like really seeing it. I feel like they probably would have sorted everything in the situation out so much sooner if they hadn't gotten interrupted. Like, this wouldn't be going on for a couple of episodes.
Right, yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but yeah. And then Maddie is now telling Josh about the whole forever dating thing, and they have a whole spreadsheet, which is totally like Maddie and Tim coded. Like, yep. And then like you see Hen telling Chim about it, and Hen's like, this whole forever dating thing is gonna last a whole 5 minutes. And Tim's
Which,
like,
before
no,
we move on,
this is
I'm just gonna
forever.
say, before we move on, I'm just gonna say, Josh is back.
Yes. Yes. I was good to see Josh.
We knew he was gonna be, but that's one of my favorite characters. I love Josh, mm-hmm. so I had to say that. Okay. Moving on.
Yes. And so Eddie tells Buck about Chris's date. Our little Chris had his, I guess, first quote unquote date. And Eddie says, like it didn't seem much different than when he's hanging out with one of his guy friends. And Buck's like talking about Buck's like, well, except for the underlying sexual tension, it's like, Buck, they are 13 years old.
They're 13, hush.
Mm-hmm. Like, hush up. Hush up, you little man child. Like,
and the way Eddie looks at him, like, oh, don't make me think about that.
I know, like, it just made things so much weirder than they needed to be. And then mm-hmm. Eddie's like saying it went well, except for apparently Chris is talking to us about two several girls, and this girl found out. It's like, no. Okay, that was cringy. Like, I was like, why did this storyline have to go this direction? Because I did not like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why do we have to end up here? You could have just made a sweet little first date and whatever and left it at that. But you had to make it like this.
Yeah.
I was like,
I mean, I don't necessarily like... I don't necessarily hate it. How do I want to put it? I think they led to good conversations with this. And I think they tackled good issues. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to those. But it's definitely not what you expect.
Right.
But I also think that like we've had all these seasons of like Chris being like the absolute sweetest child, which he is. Mm-hmm. And I think now, like, we're getting into the teen years. They're 13.
He's
so
growing up.
He's growing up.
Gavin
so we're going to be hitting.
Grown up.
Oh, my goodness. He shot like a week.
He really yeah. did. That's
he
why
did.
It's so weird.
He's
going to
be bigger than Eddie soon. Or he's going to be bigger than Ryan soon at some point.
Yeah,
maybe so. So basically, Eddie is talking to Buck because he wants Buck to have talk to Chris about this because apparently he's a reformed player,
uh-huh.
and so and he Buck's like, so you don't want to become like me, and Eddie's like, well, even you weren't like you or something along the lines of that, and I'm just
like you didn't end up like you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And I'm like. That was such a line. Sorry,
it was
a line. I love that line actually.
Yeah.
I loved it because
that's so referencing how far that Buck has come.
Yeah, he's
and
grown
I
up so
that,
much.
He has,
I love
especially
that Eddie
these last
also,
couple
like,
seasons too.
I also love that Eddie like sought help because
yeah.
he was like, I can't have this conversation because they also are like
right?
they're bringing up. I don't know if we have this confirmed before that like Shannon was. His first girlfriend. So literally,
yes,
he's
were
had a grand
sweethearts.
Total of three girlfriends.
Yeah,
Eddie can hardly talk about his own dating life. How can he talk to his son about dating? That's my thing.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't know where he got it. Not from me.
I know. Fun. We
yeah.
know Eddie. We know.
We
you
know
where
he got
us,
it.
Babe.
Know Eddie.
know Eddie. Well, yeah, and I definitely, and I'm glad we did get some confirmation. Because even Buck kind of said, you know, Eddie's like, I married my first girlfriend or whatever. And Buck's like, you married the first girlfriend you slept with or something like that. And I was like, I loved him giving him, like, teasing him a little bit.
Oh, the banter was absolutely gold.
Right. But I'm really glad to have the differences between them. Eddie, and then I loved Eddie's comment about, I'm a nester, I nest.
I know. I love that.
Like, oh yeah, that's gonna go for really well. But it is so true. He's the family man, and because he's grown, even Eddie's grown a lot since the beginning of the series. I mean, we've even learned in 3:15 when you know the Eddie begins that he didn't like he struggled. At the beginning when Chris was diagnosed with CP and all that. So to have him come so far, wanting to be a dad, wanting to be there for his son, wanting to be a good dad, that's huge for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that we've kind of seen that he's been very homey because it balances out from Buck, and because we saw, you know, season one, Buck was a very interesting character at the beginning. You know, Abby helped him grow up a little bit, and then he's grown up a lot more since. But yeah, I'm glad Eddie asked for help, and he knew that his experience in dating was not maybe the greatest, and he knew that he needed help. I think I saw somebody wrote a fan fiction like, why did you ask Buck? I was like, well, there's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah.
See, like, yeah, I'll also say that, like, we've come so far from season two, just with, like, Eddie and, like, his need to do everything by himself, or his thought that he has to do everything by himself. Because, mm-hmm. like, think about, like, Stuck, season two, episode four, where Buck steps in, like, he inserts himself into the situation and brings Carla, yeah. which absolutely drastically reformed Eddie's life. Mm-hmm. It gave him the help he needed. And we've had, like, seasons of them, like, talking back and forth over Christopher. Buck has been very, like, heavily involved in Christopher's life. But I think this is the first time we have seen Eddie actually ask Buck to step in. Like, he didn't say it as such, but this is essentially what was happening as a second parent. Because yeah. that is very second parent, like, coded. Mm-hmm. Like, even yeah. if no romantic undertones, no nothing, take all that away, that is still so parental. That's a parental conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie was like, BRB, I'm going to go grab your other dad for the situation. So, yeah, I'm so proud of them. We saw so much in this episode. I'm just so proud of them.
And it's only half over.
It's only half over. We still have so much to go.
There's so much to get talk about.
But then Bobby and Athena run into Lola and Norman again. And, like, Bobby was already talking about, like, what they were going to do that day when they get off the ship. And, like, Athena's just like, oh, I'm not feeling well. Like, and stuff. Like, I'm going to go rest or something like that. And, like, and stuff. So, like, oh, do you want us to stay back with you? And Bobby's like, oh, no, 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 no. And so he stays back, but he goes to an AA meeting, and he's just like, I'm Bobby, and I think my wife is trying to avoid being alone with me. Oh, right, and I'm an alcoholic. I loved that part.
I love this kind of, yeah, by the way.
It was the part after, it was the like, the part afterwards where everyone was like, hi, Bobby. And that killed me. Because, yes, that's how that goes.
But I honestly, I was really proud of Bobby. Of all the things he could have done, he chose to go to an AA meeting. And I know that. Yeah, and I've talked to friends, and they've addressed that, you know, obviously, you know, you're on a cruise ship. How many bars are, you know, on a cruise ship?
I think they were talking in the episode that, like, there's an AA meeting across from a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, wild. Yeah, I did really like that input, because I hadn't really thought about, like, I've thought about that, like, basically when you go on cruises, like, drinking is, like, a very, very, like, big thing. And so I think it's interesting that they mentioned that there was a meeting on the ship, and that's really important. So I liked that they gave us that, because that's gotta be, like, a hard place to be for anybody who is an addict. So I liked that they, like, that was included.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
Poor Bobby. He just, like, oh, I feel bad.
Me too.
We
know they'll sort it out, but, like,
I know, yeah. I know. They will. It's just, yeah, it's just had to get there, like, to the point where Athena wants to be like, well, this is going on.
Mm-hmm. She's gotta be able to talk about things in her own time.
Exactly. Everyone needs their own time to talk about whatever it may be. So, and I respect that. But then we get this, like, call where this couple is, like, basically they're stuck in this hot tub. Maybe stuck to each other. And apparently this guy has a heart condition or whatever. The main thing I like about the scene is because the woman is stuck to the guy. And I love Eddie, like, using what he learned from having his panic attacks in therapy to help her. like
Yeah.
be able to
I'm
like
so proud of
mindfully
him.
get unstuck and how it worked, obviously. And I thought that was like that was the main thing that I want to talk about the scene, because like I care less about anything else that happened besides, of course, Eddie using that. I think that's such growth, and I really liked that they included that, because that was great to see, and like to see him be able to do that.
Right. Yep. That's,
Yeah.
I was so proud of him.
Yeah.
I was just there like, oh my gosh, he's grown. He's grown so
Yep.
much.
He has.
I'm so proud. And
Yeah.
like also like it was well handled too, because obviously she was embarrassed because this was a sex emergency.
Yeah, it
So
was.
she was embarrassed and she was stressed, and that's why she was stuck. And it was like he handled it very well, actually, and being able to like just help her calm down. And the fact that like this is the man who not two seasons ago was saying he doesn't panic,
Right. I
and
don't
he's come
panic.
to be able to be like, oh yeah, well, I had panic attacks, and this is what helped me. Like, oh, my type in girling.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Almost
agree.
too. Yep. He's grown. And even like I loved Eddie's part of it, but then I even loved like Buck was impressed. Like he went from like shocked to like you could tell he was even happy for Eddie. She was also probably falling more in love with him, but you know, that's the whole buddy situation where
Yeah.
we're kind of interweaving in here, but
Oh
yeah.
yeah, for
I think
sure.
he might have gotten
Yeah.
reminded of his competency kink, but like that is beside Yeah.
the point.
But yeah, I was really happy to see Eddie and openly acknowledging that he had it. Like, and on the call, he's like, oh yeah. He's like, this helped me when I had panic attacks. Wait, what? He just like to strangers just admitted it. Eddie wouldn't have done that 2 seasons ago.
No, he wouldn't
Oh
have.
no.
Major growth. We love it. So then Buck is talking to Chris, having this conversation, and like telling him that like he can't like tell like all the girls he's quote whatever talking to or whatever, that they're all the same and they're all special. And Chris is like, but they are all special. And it's like, yeah, but that might hurt their feelings, especially if they find out. I don't know. Like it's cute to see Chris dating, but we're making him into like a little player, and I just don't know how I feel about that.
Here's the thing. My take on it is that like this is the very beginning of him. So he's working through like the abandonment issues from everything that happened with
That's
his
true.
mom. That's going to affect him. But I think that since they're catching it and they'll be able to help him get through this, we'll have that potential for like the sweet moments of, oh my gosh, Chris is dating. But like we're gonna be even happier because it's like, oh, he's grown from it. Like he's learning how to treat like these girls in this class, the girls that he likes, better, and he doesn't have to learn that so much later in life, like so many people had to, i.e. Buck. Like, yeah, I don't know. I see what's being said, but like, actually, I think this is just going to be a good growth opportunity, and that we're going to be rewarded when we see how much he's grown.
Yeah, that's true. And then like it always circles back to like Chris is like it doesn't really matter because they're just gonna leave, and that's so sad because he's referring obviously to his mom, and it's like she died. Like Buck has to be like, you know, she died. Like it wasn't like she just left, even though she technically left before, and then she came back, and then she left, died.
Yeah, this was definitely a powerful scene. Because at first Eddie and Buck didn't have any idea why Chris was acting the way he was. Because obviously that wasn't a conversation they'd had. And if
No.
Chris doesn't really open up or has not in the past really opened up much to Eddie about Shannon. So I'm glad that Buck talked with Chris because it helped Chris bring up why he was acting the way he was, because then they can get a hold of it and really work on that. Because he was.
I'm not sure he would have said it so readily to Eddie if Eddie had tried having a conversation. Because I think he would have been like, oh, my dad's going to be like hurt. He's going to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm this makes me doubly glad that Buck was there to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I felt so bad seeing Eddie standing outside his room, like almost in tears, just like.
He just looked devastated.
Hurt. Yeah. Because I think he's like, oh, I haven't really, you know, like there's that like guilt of dealing with like the lack of dealing with maybe Shannon's death or talking about it or keeping Chris in therapy. Because, I don't know if Chris is still continuing in therapy. So, yeah, this was a powerful scene. I would have liked to have had an Eddie Buck
Absolutely.
Scene after this, just to like have Buck check in with Eddie, because Buck obviously at this moment doesn't know that Eddie's standing outside in the hallway.
You know what? I was watching that scene. I think I watched that scene a second time. And he looks up and he's looking towards the doorway, and you see it just as the camera's panning to Eddie, so Buck is sort of going out of focus. I wouldn't be surprised if Buck did know he was out there, or at least suspected he was out there. Because, like, he's looking up towards, he's almost looking at the camera, and the camera's at the doorway where Eddie is. So my personal theory is that he did know, or at least suspected Eddie.
I mean, if I was doing that, and I was talking to a friend's kid about something, I would totally suspect they're standing outside the hallway. I would just, because they're going to want to know what's being said.
I will also say that I'm hoping that scene that we have seen stills from of them in the firehouse gym talking, I'm actually, like, I really hope it might actually be talking about this, that we're going to get in a later episode.
Possible.
Yeah. And sorry, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
I don't remember. No, I think it was just, I'm just really glad that we like talked about this and acknowledged the fact that, you know, kids without, you know, Eddie didn't purposely let this happen, but it happened. I mean, Chris unfortunately lost his mom and he's dealing with that situation. And I'm glad that it kind of came to a head. And as Eddie and Buck and even some of the fire crew can maybe help like Chris understand that this isn't his fault and his past shouldn't define how he treats women in the future. Because his mom made her own decisions that had nothing to do with Chris. She had to make decisions and that impacted Chris and it impacted Eddie. And he shouldn't feel guilty or like blame. I don't know. It's a slippery slope, but I'm glad we get more of it addressed later in the episode.
Oh yeah, for sure. Of course. Bobby wakes up. Dina's not next to him in bed. She is hurry going to breakfast, apparently. And it's just like, oh hi. Like, and Bobby like is like, Bobby thinks Athena is avoiding him, which she sort of is. Because she doesn't want to be alone with him. Maybe not on purpose, but a little bit. And it's like odd. You can tell that Bobby's like, what the heck? What's going on? And like they're starting to have a conversation. And then Athena sees Norman and she of course calls him over. And like we find out Lola is resting, quote unquote resting, after whatever, the long day or something. And they then like Bobby's just like, what the heck, why did you do that, like why did you have to call him over when we were trying to talk? Mm-hmm. And like Bobby like says like how he thinks she doesn't want to be alone with him. And then like they finally figure out that like they'll go like do something, they'll go sit by the pool. And Athena's like, okay, I'll meet you in 10 minutes. And yeah, then of course, Athena is not purposely, but a little snoopy. And she like sees that the room that Lola and Norman are staying in is being cleaned by like one of the housekeepers. And she's like asking, she knows that Lola apparently hasn't been, is like resting or isn't feeling well. And then it's like, oh, she's not here. And then Athena sees this like how old it has like blood on it, and she's asking the
Mm-hmm.
housekeeper, like, don't you think that's odd? And she's like, yeah, it's more common than you think. And then, of course, this involves Athena to, instead of getting ready to go meet Bobby by the pool, she is on the phone talking to Hen, and she's like, I think he killed Lola. And like, it's like, well, this is wild. And Bobby comes back, and it apparently had been like 40 minutes when Athena said only 10 for Bobby. And Bobby is then texting Chim saying, please don't encourage her. Like, I can get that. Like, just like, don't. And like, so Chim's showing head. And then like, Athena thinks, so then Athena is like telling Bobby that she thinks that Norman killed Lola, and Bobby says like how he thinks she's making up another excuse to avoid being alone with him. And so like Bobby's like, okay, here we go, like, we're gonna go prove that you're wrong. So like they're talking.
Love that moment.
I love that Bobby's like, listen, we're gonna go prove you wrong. That's what they're talking to, like the one, like the cruise ship director, and it's like, oh no, she's like back, she got back on board and stuff. And then like, oh, they're in line, oh, let's look over there. And then like, so they see the woman, but her face is like turned the other way, so you can't see her. So it's like, oh,
like
she's
it's
right
her
there.
Hat.
Yes. And she has this big like floppy hat on, so you can't even see her face even then. And then like, so it's like, oh yeah, she's right there, okay, never mind, we panicked for no reason and stuff. And then so Athena's turned the other way, but Bobby's face is facing the way that Norman is. So like, and then Bobby sees a glimpse, and he's like, I think he murdered his wife. And we see an
it's like
imposter.
Bobby's, yeah,
and it's
so
just like
good.
Athena's like, don't get me going.
Right, you know, because he's trying to prove her wrong, and then all of a sudden like she's like, okay, fine, you're right, I'm just crazy. And then he's like, I think Norman killed his wife. And she's like,
and that was so
like
funny.
Right, and then earlier we saw he had like scratches on his side of his neck, and I'm like, to me, I think that wasn't suspicious though, because I'm like, there are so many things that could have happened. Like, yeah, his excuse for it was kind of like, really, that's what you're going with? But also, like, it wasn't super suspicious to me.
Honestly, I would have panned it off as they had a good time the night before. That
yeah,
sounds
yeah,
crass,
yeah.
but that's how I would have done. I would have just been like, I'm not asking further questions.
Right.
I don't
well, if
want to
you don't
know.
want to know.
Right. And it was even kind of like, you fell in a bush while riding a bicycle, and you only have a scratch on your neck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the scratches on your arms and legs? Because you were wearing shorts.
True. So
also,
that's.
I'm saying I'm super sus about this like cruise director.
Oh yeah, me too. I was like, yeah, no, you're involved. I know you are.
Oh, he's absolutely the way they first showed him. I was like,
I don't know. I'm sort of like less suspicious about them. I don't know.
Fair.
I just, because I think it's gonna be well, it's obviously outside things that are happening, so like I'm like not really like too suspicious of them. I also feel like anybody would suspect it would be somebody on board, so I don't necessarily think it would be somebody on board.
But things go easier when there's an inside person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like, it's quite possible he's fine. Like, he might just be like the, I don't know, the decoy or whatever, like kind of planted in show. Because I feel like they might have, I feel like just something was very suspicious about him, and that might have been intentional. Who knows? Maybe they're a decoy or whatever thrown out by the show, but I don't know. Right now, I'm suspicious of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so we'll see. We'll see. I could be very well.
Yeah, that's true. But Eddie is talking to Chris while he's doing his homework. They're talking about dinner. And so, like, they're first talking, and the picture is slipped down because it's like, I'm assuming it's the picture of Chris and his mom, maybe. Or,
At
like,
the beach, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the picture at the beach. And so it's like flipped down at first. And, like, Eddie gives him like this letter. He's like, I'm pretty sure I've never showed you this, but he's like, I think you should have it. Like, I think your mom would want you to have it. And so he like gives it to Chris. And then when Eddie's out of the room, he like reads it, but Eddie's like basically around the corner, like and stuff. Like, he's close enough. And like, I love the scene because like you see Shannon reading it, which is really nice.
Like, oh my gosh,
Yeah.
they brought back Shannon to make like an
That was my thought
appearance.
too.
Yeah, I
I
love
was so
that.
not expecting this, not all this time later. Like,
I know.
oh my
Yeah.
gosh. I
And
loved it
it's
though, actually. Because it was the letter that Eddie read when Shannon died. We
Yes.
first heard it in 218.
When he was
And so
on the beach.
yeah,
Yeah, when he was
it
on the
was on the
beach.
beach and he broke down crying and everything. And we'd heard her voiceover, we didn't see her anything. And it hasn't been referenced since then. Not really, though. I think someone speculated they saw him like holding it. It might have just been the stills from the season, actually, come to think of it. But like some fans like called it when they saw it in some of the stills from the season that they were like, oh my gosh, is that the letter? And it was. And I'm
Yeah.
like, oh my gosh. So
Yeah.
I'm so glad they finally brought it back.
Yeah. And this, you know, because it was a letter she wrote for to give, she gave Eddie to give to Chris when he got older. And it was, she was leaving again. And I just was, it was good closure, I think, for Chris. I think he needed that. And I think he was, at the time when she passed, he wasn't ready for it. And he was too young to kind of still wrap his head around everything.
He
So
was
this
only
was such
seven
a
when
good
she
time.
died. He never would have understood it like he was supposed to in this moment, but this helped him, I think, because he might have honestly just been forgetting that his mom loved him because she'd left.
Right, because even when she left, he was little.
Yeah, he was what, like four, three,
He
four?
was,
He was like
I,
4 or 5, I'm pretty sure. So I'm
yeah.
pretty sure Eddie joined the fire department when Shannon had been gone for like 3 years.
That's about right.
No.
Yeah, because he had gotten back
It
from a
was 3 years.
tour after he got hurt and he got the Silver Star. Shannon left just after that. And Chris was like three or four. Yeah, that sounds about right then.
And but then Eddie came back in to ask him about like pizza toppings, and then the picture was flipped back up,
Yeah, that was
which
good.
was super
And honestly, I think
sweet.
that was very healing for him too. Because I feel like he was just going in because he's not been a dad before. Chris is his only kid. So he never, these are all firsts for him. And he's navigating a tricky situation with like the topic of abandonment and what happened with Shannon. And I don't think it ever occurred to him that he struggles with dating and he struggles with everything after Shannon. I don't think it ever occurred to him because really, why would it unless you're presented with it that Chris would?
I think Eddie still was still holding some guilt and blamed himself for Shannon leaving in the first place.
Oh yeah, for sure.
For sure.
So basically, like the wrap up of Maddie and Chimney, like they basically come to like Chimney is like, yeah, like we're not gonna do this forever dating thing, like we'll be fine. And he apparently bought them a hot tub, which I'm like, okay, Chim.
Honestly, I don't know that I would do that after the call, but you know what? As long as they keep their activities outside of the hot tub, they'll be fine.
Yeah, my thing is if you have a major heart condition, you know, maybe not go in the hot tub, because I'm pretty sure all medications, you're advised to basically not do that if you, especially if you're on medication.
I'm pretty sure like general like public hot tub rules say like the same thing. Like they have rules about how long you can be in there. Now how much is that enforced? I don't know, but it's certainly like disclaimers almost like, hey, you can't do this longer than that. You know this. Anything you do here from here on out is your choice.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell people not to do something, but like
Warn them
hot,
that it's not a good idea.
yeah,
Right.
hot tubs aren't like meant to be in for like hours. It's like
No.
you go in there for like maybe 20, 30 minutes, and like that's it. Like, It's
Like,
definitely.
they're very relaxing, but they also put a lot of strain on your body, too. So, like, yeah, it's just not the best idea.
Yeah, for sure. But then, of course, a tropical storm is coming. So they're going back. The boat is going back to LA. And then this is like when Athena and Bobby are like talking to Norman, and like with the help of the captain of the ship, and we find out that like Lola was apparently taken when her and Norman were on some excursion or whatever they were doing. And Norman like s said that like that basically like if they were demanding like him to give them his dongle, and he's like, I don't even have one. And like apparently on it is like Bitcoin or something, and Norman's like, I don't have any of that. And like if he doesn't give them that, they're gonna kill her, supposedly. And so like of course this woman who came on the ship is an imposter, and so they have to have security like find her. And of course this, we see this woman go into like the what seems like the control center, and it's like breaking stuff. And then
I'm pretty sure it was the communications room.
yes.
Yeah. Like, so they won't be able to call out for help.
Yep,
But
so
that's
like
not good.
that's very not good. And then like Bobby has to tell Norman that they're going like back to LA because of the storm. And then of course we hear gunshots, and these people are hijacking the ship, which I was just like, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
And then Athena's just like, oh, the storms are already here.
Oh yeah, because they're like, oh, the storm's on the way. Shit, no, I think it's already here.
Yeah, pretty
It's like,
much.
I really like that line. Yeah, this was an
Oh,
interesting
yeah.
scene, like how it came about, because like being so Athena doesn't have jurisdiction on the cruise ship, so she had to go to get to the captain to get permission, because the captain is the one that has to basically investigate anything, or at least start the investigation of something going on. But with Athena's experience and being a sergeant, she was able to go to the captain and be, look, I'm a police sergeant. I think there's something going on. Can I talk to this passenger? And so I'm really glad like he didn't just hide it. He just flat out said, this is what happened. So they were able to like start it. But by then it was too late because things had already started in motion. Yeah, so I'm really excited. I'm getting the vibe of the tsunami episode, because like in 301, at the end is when Buck and Chris are on the end of the pier, and that's when Chris was like, why is all the
Where
water
did all the
going
water
out?
go?
And that's, so we get like right at the tail end, and then we get the next two episodes, it's all tsunami stuff. So I'm like, I'm really excited that I think this is what's going to happen with this one too. So
Yeah.
I'm excited. And the guy that like the main guy that said like was like got on the ship and was like, I think he was on the pool deck, and he says, just stay calm and nobody will get hurt or something like that. I swear I recognize him. Like he's
Oh,
the
I
bad guy in
absolutely
other
recognize
shows.
him.
He's the
I
bad
don't
guy
know
in
who
other
he is, but the
shows.
face looks familiar.
I've seen him in other shows. So
I don't even necessarily think he's the ringleader, or I'm not sure if he's the ringleader, but he definitely was heavily out of gun, so that makes him enough of a ringleader, you
watch the
know?
woman be the ringleader.
Oh, I
Right.
wouldn't be
I
surprised.
believe it.
I guess girl power go off and all that.
Because she can
Oh,
make these dudes do whatever she wanted, is my thought.
yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, what's interesting is because they took Lola, and they accosted Norman and Lola because there's apparently a rumor that there's like a retiree couple going around on cruise ships that apparently have like a fortune in like Bitcoin or whatever. I forget exactly what they said, but it was something along those lines. And like Norman and Lola fit it to a T. Now, that also plays into my suspicion of the cruise director a little bit, because that feels like a target was placed on them outside of the cruise. Because how would they know they go around on all the cruises? And this cruise director has been there on most, like a lot of their cruises. Unless they stop by this port, like this port a lot, unless it's like their route all the time, there's certainly allowances. But that's one of the main reasons I think the cruise director is involved, is because they seem to know a little bit too much to like single them out.
Yeah, that's why I was getting suspicious of him, because he seemed to be hesitant when Norman called him over. He was talking to them. I feel like he was very hesitant to talk around Bobby and Athena. And then, yeah, I feel like he's known Norman and Lola for a while, and he may have made some assumptions about them that were accurate, but before he could really like acknowledge it or address it, some people that are dealing like doing some bad stuff in his life, maybe they were like, nope, we're gonna deal with this. So I don't know, I'm like, well,
Yeah, I think it's a possibility, or it's gonna be
yeah.
someone, or I still think there's a plant. I'm just gonna say it. There's a plant somewhere in there. That's my biggest suspicion, whether it's a cruise director or not. It's totally gonna be like wind up being the maid or something. Like, watch.
Right.
It's not gonna be
Possibly,
the
yeah.
obvious, but that is
Yeah.
that he's my suspicion. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The only reason I don't buy it is because there's a promo clip of like the cruise director and the captain of the ship, and like they're asking what Bobby's asking what Athena is doing, and they're like they're already injured, and they're like, oh, she's saving the ship. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm very interested to see how this plays out. Like, I'm so invested. Oh yeah, I'm
Like,
s
this is being set up so well.
it is. It's so far so good. Like, it's really good. Yeah, I'm really happy with how it's going. It's gonna be like a good 3 episodes.
So living for it.
Our arc is
Yeah.
going so well.
Huh? Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't think we have a lot of or any fan thoughts for today, but you guys could of course tell us what you thought of the episode and stuff on like wherever on Discord or whatever. We'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's talk about, I guess, the promo now. So we of course know these people are hijacking the ship. And we see Bobby and Athena like running down like this, whatever, this hallway or something. And Ben is at the call center, which we've seen pictures of, and she like can't find their cruise ship. We hear some beeping like on the ship, and Athena's like, you hear that? And Athena's walking with the cruise director, and then there's like some sort of explosion. Bobby says how nobody is getting like left behind. We see like people in like life jackets, and Athena is crawling through some part of the ship and stuff at some point. And then Bobby is, this is like Bobby when he's asking like them, like, where's my wife? And they're like saying how she's saving the ship. And then Athena, it's hard to see, but like it seems like she's like steering the ship, which I'm like, yes, Athena, like you do you. But yeah, I'm excited to see where that goes.
I'm very curious, I'll be honest, because like it looks like they're starting the evacuation process and everything. It looks like they're working towards getting off the ship. So I'm like, I don't know. It may seem weird, but I have questions about like why. Like, why is Athena like trying to steer the ship in particular? Because I'm guessing we've probably already had the explosion by this point, or we're about to have the explosion. There's a lot of other con what I'm saying is there is other concerns other than where is the ship going? Like, is there a danger of it crashing at some point? Is there like
Well,
what's
the top of the
happening here?
storm.
Yeah,
Oh,
there's
yes.
a storm coming in, it's not helping, and then I imagine trying to get as many passengers off the ship, because as these people, these I don't know, right now I'm going to call them pirates because I have no idea like what they're doing.
No, everyone,
I
somebody
think they
freaking said
referred to
this
as
even before we
pirates.
knew that. They're like, I guarantee that like they're gonna be pirates on Bobby and Athena's ship, and that's what's gonna happen. And I'm like,
And I'll say I love a good pirate storyline. Oh yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, I'm thinking like while like certain people are able to get to life rafts, they're trying to get as many people off the ship as possible
Yeah.
to have less people. But then there's, we've seen it in the promos like prior to even the show's coming back, the explosion on the ship, and the ship is listing to one side. So it's gonna be like a, I'm not gonna
Well, I
say
also have many questions about
Titanic
the explosion.
experience. Yeah, I'm not gonna say Titanic. We'll say in maybe 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, something like that, there was a small cruise liner in the Mediterranean that ran aground and started sinking, and it was close enough to the shore that most everybody was able to get off without getting injured. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, because the way the images look, ship is near land, so it's not like they're gonna have that far to go. But still, you're out in the middle of the water. and, you know,
in a tropical storm.
Yeah, too. You got a storm coming. So I'm always down for water rescues. The tsunami was a good episode series. So I'm excited for this one to play out. And it's like, it's weird because like we can go back now and watch all of the tsunami episodes in a row, like back to back. And this one we have to wait a week. And it sucks because I'm like, is it time to watch the next one yet?
I'm so excited for Thursday.
I know. Yeah, and which that's a good sign because that's showing how good this is. Mm-hmm. And we're like previous years, well, we haven't had like a multi-episode arc in a couple seasons. But like even like the last one we had, it was like not, it was like, it wasn't that good. So it was just like, eh. Like you wanted to steal the episodes, but you weren't rushing towards it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a good feeling being able to be so excited for. Like, I don't think I've been like anticipating an episode as much in a while. So yeah. Also, the anticipation to record was like very high today. I was like, I'm so excited to record.
I know. Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really glad the season's back. I feel like this might help tamper some of the missing of 911 Lone Star, with having something coming back to talk about, because I definitely miss recording and talking with you guys all the time. So I feel like this is going to help us like at least get some 911 content in, digesting something.
Oh, yeah,
I love fan fiction, but it can only serve so much, you know?
I know, I much rather like talk about what's really happening.
So, but yeah, I say this is one of the better starts to the seasons that we've had in a while. So,
for sure.
Yeah, definitely excited. It's, ABC is doing well with, you know, the promotion and social media teams and content. So I'm hoping that continues, and I hope it's not just for like ramping up to get people to watch the show. I did hear that over the weekend, or over the first couple days, viewing was higher for a premiere than some other ones in the past, which was good to hear. And I think it was the number one scripted show of the night to be watched. So take it. I'd be happy for that.
Oh, yeah. We love setting these numbers again.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah, for sure.
I kind of feel like I remember when NSYNC's second album was coming out. We had waited like 6 extra months because they had some issues with their like the production company and something else, and it ended up being, you know, the way delayed. And so I feel like because all of us fans were so excited for the album to finally come out, it broke records the day it came out and selling 2.4 million in the first day. And I feel like this is kind of what it was. Like, we were so excited to have 911 back after such a long hiatus that, like, I'm hoping, like, we broke these records. And I hope that we can stay consistent. Maybe not as high, but at least have high enough that we've got people coming back. And this show can continue on for seasons to come.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you guys so much for joining us and listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and everywhere podcasts can be found. You can rate us on iTunes and Spotify. It would mean a lot to us. You guys can follow the podcast on our socials at 911LS Roundup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We also have a Discord server. You guys can check that out. It's in the description of this podcast and in our Instagram bio. You guys can follow me also, Katie, @FLOVETARLOS on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads.
You guys can follow me, Grace, @RonanRapa911 on Instagram, and @CheapGirl31 on Twitter.
You can follow me, EJ, @EJ8302 on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, TikTok, just about everywhere. Bye.
Bye.